thank you for this man and his family. Thank you for Matt yesterday as well, and the leadership and the facilitation they brought. Lord, we look forward very much to hearing what you have to say through Aaron this morning. We thank you for his preparation and your support in that, and we ask for an anointing of your Spirit for the delivery and for our hearing, Lord, today. Lord, we look forward to what you have to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. My family, Shelley, Jacob, Emily, Bethany, they texted me this morning and said, we're praying for you and we're praying for the church. So they know how I preach, so they're praying for you. No. We serve full-time with Ambassadors for Christ International, and it's just such a joy. But my home is in Raymond Terrace, which is a couple of hours north of Sydney on the east coast in Port Stephens area, part of the pastoral team there. But it's so good to be with God's family on the other side of Australia and worshipping the same God, bound by Christ, our King. So if you would like to receive our a ministry newsletter from us, we would love to send that to you. We really value your prayers. We are a praying family and have just seen God respond to prayer time and time and time again. So out at morning tea, there'll be a blue sheet of paper just saying, yes, I'd like to pray for you, Aaron, and receive your ministry updates. And just a small token of our appreciation, I want to send you this little booklet called The Tyranny of the Urgent. This little booklet took me about 25 minutes to read, and it just changed my life. It talks about how we can allow the urgent things in life get in the way of the important things. And so just want to send that to you as a token of our appreciation for joining us in prayer. But this morning, I wanted to talk about this, fruitful followers of Jesus. That's our topic today. But I always like to start with a question. And I want to give you 30 seconds to talk to the person next to you. When you think about being a fruitful follower of Christ, why do you think God seems to work in and through the lives of some Christians more than other Christians? What do you think that is? Have a chat to the person next to you, and then we'll come back and see what you think. This screen's not on. Okay. Let's hear from each other. Why do you think God seems to work through the lives of some Christians more than other Christians? What'd you come up with? Because he wants to. Good answer.
I think sometimes we minimize what he's doing in our life. We don't see it because we see it in other people. We don't see what he's doing in our life.
Yeah, that's good.
Personalities.
Personalities? Yeah.
I think a lot of people
are lazy. Yeah, okay. The laziness of Christians. Fruits of the Spirit, they're on fire. They're open, their openness.
Being willing.
Good, yeah. Yeah, allow. Allowing God the time to work in you. Nice. So allowing God to lead, it's good.
Chooses to use us.
Yeah, he chooses to. He doesn't have to. Yeah, so fear can sometimes hold us back. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's good. Any other thoughts? Well, that's our sermon for the day. Let's. No, you know what? Living a fruitful life is something that Jesus talked about fairly plainly to his disciples. You know, didn't he? We read that. And truth be known, each one of us actually want to live a fruitful life. All of us want to leave something that is of some worth to somebody, but also too, we want to actually please our Lord and actually be a part of his kingdom work, don't we? As Christians, this is, we don't just want our life to pass and mean nothing, do we? So there's something within us which God has placed in us that we actually desire to be fruitful and to see God at work in and through our own lives, don't we? Am I wrong in that, or who agrees? Yeah? Yeah. Well, I want to go to Mark 4 today. So grab your Bibles. Go to Mark chapter 4. And when you've got it, let me know. Say, got it. Got it. Good. Who else has got it? Mark chapter 4. And Jesus here is talking to the crowds that are gathering, and he's talking in parables, so stories told in everyday language that explain and help them understand a spiritual truth. That's what a parable is doing. And here Jesus begins to talk again in Mark chapter 4. And verse 3, he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Another seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm reading from the ESV. What's he talking about here? Well, you'd be forgiven if you were thinking, what's going on? What's he talking about? You know, he's by the Sea of Galilee. He's in a Jewish region, but about the sea is all agricultural fields, and you could say, well, he's just talking about what happens in practical everyday life. Well, yeah, he is. But he's also talking about a spiritual truth that people need to understand. And his disciples were scratching their heads a bit too and said, what are you talking about, Jesus? And came to him later on and talked to him about it. And he just explains simply in verse 13, he says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And he just says simply in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So when we're thinking about this chapter, the first thing we need to understand is that the seed is the word of God. Okay? Jesus says it pretty plainly there. The sower sows the word. And then when he's talking about the different types of soils, he's referring to the hearts of people. Okay? So the seed is the word of God. The soil is the hearts of people. You understand that? He goes on to explain those different types of soil or those different types of ground. And there's four different types of ground that he explains. Four different types of hearts, you could say. And I want to just unpack these a little bit today. The first ground we see is the path. The seed falls on the path. Verse 15 says, "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." So the first heart that Jesus is describing, I've actually called this the hard heart. The hard heart. So here, the path, the hard heart, it's packed ground. The seed can't penetrate. The word of God doesn't go in. It just sits on the surface and the birds of the air or Satan just comes and steals that away. And people with hard hearts hear the word of God, but it makes no difference to them. No difference at all. You may know people with a hard heart. You try talking to them about God's word. You may share the gospel, but it just does not sink in. You've shared it 10, 20, 50 times. Over 20 years you've talked to them about the word of God, and it just has no impact. Doesn't go in. Now, when I was younger, I thought I knew pretty much everything. It's the best time to employ someone when they know everything. You know, I thought I knew what my future held. I thought I had my life worked out, what I wanted to do, how I was going to get it. I ignored God in my life. I had a hard heart. And after a while, I realized that really, I had no clue. I had no direction and really no life at all. I was lonely. I was confused. I was wondering what the purpose of life was. This was because my heart was hard. I didn't have time for God or His Word. And in fact, I was ignoring God. And there are people all around us, people we know, around us every day that have hard hearts. Well, the second type of ground that we read about here is the rocky ground. Verse 16, we read about this. Jesus explains this rocky ground. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. I like to call this heart, a shallow heart. Rocky ground, a shallow heart. Now what do we observe about this heart? They hear the word of God and they like what they hear. They're not a hard heart. They like the word of God. They're often first to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm in." They're quick to receive the word with joy, Jesus says. They're excited by the word while it's fun and it suits them. They accept God's message of blessing and prosperity and His goodness. They accept that. They love it. They're joyful about it. They have a view of life that God is blessing my life and life is great. However, Jesus says, when hardship comes, immediately they fall away. Because their love for the word and their connectedness to the word equal good time and blessing. And they can't reconcile when life gets tough or when they're persecuted because of the word. They stumble when being committed to God and His word costs them. They have no stability because the fullness of God's word hasn't taken root in their heart. When faced with ridicule in the workplace because they're a Christian, they back down. When they're teased at school or uni because of their commitment to the word, or when life relationships are threatened on account of their commitment to God, to His word, they back down. When the heat is on, their love for the word dies, Jesus says. It has no root. This heart's no longer excited about the word because being committed to the word, it's going to cost them. Their relationships, reputation. There are people in our churches across the world today with shallow hearts. Is this your heart? Do you stumble or back away when the heat is on? Is your connectedness and excited about the Word of God limited to His blessings only? If so, you need to know you may have a shallow heart. But that's not where Jesus wants you to stay. Our third heart, the thorny ground, the thorny soil. Verse 18, Jesus explains this one. Others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but listen. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I like to call this soil, this heart, keep double-clicking that, the crowded heart. The crowded heart. At first, this heart appears healthy. Take a look at it. The seed goes in. This heart has room for the word of God. It goes down deep. This heart isn't hard. It's not shallow. The seed, the word of God goes in. This heart has said yes to the Lord. For this person, the word is meaningful to them. But this person drives out of church on Sunday and the pressures of life crowd out room for God's word to grow and to be fruitful. Life goes on. Life's busy. The word is meaningful to the crowded heart. However, they would say, maybe not out loud, but they would say, I have family to care for. I don't have room for God. Work and a business, I've got to attend to that. I've got to prioritize things for a while just to get ahead. I need to just get these projects done. Or I've just got to help this person out. Sometimes it's good things that crowd this out. There's so much I want to do and I have no time to do it all. I just need to get this new toy. I just want this new promotion. I've just got to save a bit more in my super. I've just got to plan this next holiday. It's a crowded heart. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things crowd out the word of God. But this person's life is placed on the back seat until next Sunday, and they come to church and the word's meaningful again. This person doesn't really leave room for the word of God in their daily life or really for God at all in life. The word is choked, and look at the result in verse 19. It proves unfruitful. Wouldn't you agree that many of our churches, even across Australia, have their pews warmed every single week by crowded hearts? I know because I've been a crowded heart. The word is meaningful but missing in their lifestyle and leads to an unfruitful life. God, we need to understand, isn't just an accessory. God is a necessity. For the Christian, we cannot bear fruit without God in our life. We want to be like those, don't we, who know that the word know the word, and is bearing fruit in their lives. Don't we want to be like those people who seem to have an intimacy with God that is real? We want to make wise decisions. We want to be able to discern the truth. We want to have peace no matter what comes our way. We want to be genuinely loving to people. We don't want to fake it. We want to care about building others up. Heart for the lost, and to be able to share our faith naturally. Isn't this the type of person we want to be? We want to be bearing fruit, don't we? We want to have an effect and an influence on the world around us for the sake of Christ. This is what we want to see in our lives, and this is what God wants to see in our life. And the good news is, this is where God wants us to be. This is the type of soil He can yield much fruit. Let's look at what Jesus says about this type of heart. The good soil. The good soil. Verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I like to call this heart. Can you take a guess? The surrendered heart. The surrendered heart. What did you notice about this heart? There's three observations I want to make about this particular heart, the surrendered heart. First of all, Jesus says that this heart makes room to hear His word. Do you make room to hear God's word? The word was so important to Christ. He made room for the word of God. He got up early. He spent time with His Father. He withdrew from the crowds to spend time with His Father, to hear the words of His Father. When He was tempted by Satan, what was His defense? It was the word of God. How did He know the word? Well, He spent time listening to His Father, learning the word, spending time with His Father. At a young age, He was discussing the word with the rabbis and religious leaders. If we want to bear much fruit, we must spend daily time with God. Now, we know this, don't we? We've been told and told and told, spend daily time with God. And yet, how many of us still struggle in this? We allow the thorns of life to crowd out our time. This was a priority for Jesus, and how much more do we need this to be a priority for us? As you open your Bible, do you just read the words, or do you come and ask the Lord, "Lord, speak to me. I want to hear You. What are You saying to me personally, Lord?" Do you read with an attitude of prayer? What does this mean, Lord? I'm listening. Don't just approach your time together with your list of requests, but seek God with a listening heart and asking Him, "What are You saying to me, Lord?" Now, in Jesus' day, it was very much an oral culture. The people would head up to the synagogue each day and to listen to the rabbis. Over mealtime, they would share the scriptures with one another. They spent time listening to, hearing God's word. Are you making time each day to hear God's word? Or is the noise of life crowding it out? Not just reading a passage and saying, "Okay, I'm done with my time." But when you do have time with God, are you seeking to understand Him and His word? We need to take time to hear the word, but also understand the word. In Matthew 13, we read this same parable. And in Matthew, verse 23, Jesus says that the good soil, the surrendered heart, hears the word of God, and He says, understands the word. Are you seeking to understand God's word? you can know what the Bible says. And so often we read the word for information, just to gather information. But God gave us his word to hear him speak, to understand his heart, to understand his will, understand his plans, to understand his purpose for us. Are you spending time to understand God's word? David was a man after God's own heart, and he spent time understanding God's word. In Psalm 19, from verse 7, he says this about the word of God, and just listen to how he explains God's word. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Does your soul need reviving? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Do you need wisdom? "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Is your heart rejoicing? "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening my eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, even much more than fine gold." Do you desire the word of God and understanding God more than gold? "Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Our souls need reviving, don't they? Our hearts need rejoicing. Our eyes need enlightening. Do we desire the word more than gold? Is it sweeter than honey? When we chase after the word of God and him, it says there is great reward. You know, we prosper in our relationship with God. We prosper in our relationship with others. We prosper in our relationship with people we don't know. There's great reward. Well, understanding the word of God, I want to give you three tips just how you can understand the word of God. When you go to a passage, ask yourself these questions. What's the historical setting? Okay? Who's present? Where is it located? When was it written? So the passage we're reading in Mark here, you know, who's present? Well, Jesus, a large crowd of people. His disciples are there. Where are they? They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're in a Jewish region. He's talking to Jewish people. He's talking to people who know him and following him and others who are just checking him out. When was it written? Well, Mark was written about 50 to 60 AD. What's Jesus teaching them? Well, about the kingdom of heaven. It's in a whole line of other parables. Okay, so what's the historical setting? Secondly, what does this passage mean to the people who are hearing these words? So what does this mean to the Jews who are listening to Jesus by the Sea of Galilee? Well, they're beginning to understand that the new life that Christ is calling them to, this life Christ grants to those who belong to his kingdom, and how this is in contrast to a life that opposes God. Okay, what's the historical setting? What does it mean to the people of the time? And what is the timeless principle? What is the principle out of this passage that's true for all people of all races of all time at any time? Well, only the word of God received in a surrendered heart can bear much fruit for his kingdom, fruit that will last. And so when we understand the historical setting and what it means to the people and we understand the timeless principles, you go, well, so what, Aaron? That's all great. Well, it's only then that we can say, okay, how does this apply to me in my life today? What's God saying to me? And Lord, how can I obey you? And in this passage, in order to bear fruit, you must surrender to the authority of God's word. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, this heart accepts my word. In Mark, is our third observation. This heart accepts the word of God. This heart surrenders to the authority of God's word. It's determined to say, yes, Lord, even before he's asked. This heart comes to the Lord with a willingness, an attitude to obey. God, whatever your word instructs, I accept. Whatever it costs, I accept. Whatever you ask, I accept. I believe. I trust. Anytime, anywhere, any cost, this is the surrendered heart. I was having a conversation with my kids one day and explaining this to them, and they said, Dad, if God asked you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? They'll be in kids. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But guys, let me ask you this. If God asked you to build an ark, would you do it? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It's never rained before. Women, if God said that at the age of 90 you're going to have another child, would you laugh? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? If God asked you to take your child up a mountain and build an altar and lay him on it and sacrifice him, would you do it? This is a surrendered heart. What if he asked you to march around Jericho 7 times? Would you do it? What if he asked you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him? Would you do it? So that's exactly what he's asking you to do. Do you accept? Are you willing? Are you surrendered? This is the type of heart God can use. This is the type of heart God will use to bear much fruit. When you make room to hear and understand his word, when you accept God's word, God bears much fruit in your life. When you observe the four different soils here, which is the only one that bears fruit? It's the surrendered heart, right? What fruit is it? What fruit is this person bearing? What kingdom fruit is there? Well, Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Are they the fruits that people see in your life? Are they the fruits that people taste from your life? This is the fruits. This is the Word of God actively lived out, impacting the world around them. And aren't these the fruits that we see in Jesus' life? The fruits as he lived and walked this earth, the fruits that people saw, that they tasted, that they were attracted to, that they wanted, that they desired. The fruit isn't for the tree, is it? The fruit is for others. When we surrender our heart to the Lord, he does a work in our life that bears fruit for others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Only a healthy tree can produce fruit. Several years ago, I had the worst and the best New Year's Eve. It was the worst because there was no peace in our household. It was the worst because it was the culmination, or the, how do I say that word? Culmination of a year that was not bearing fruit in my life. And New Year's Eve, we're getting ready to go out, and I just had enough. And Shelley and I were at odds. It was all me. It's never her. And I just said, that's it. I'm not going out. I'm staying at home. I don't feel like celebrating. You guys go. I'm staying at home. So they left. They went, enjoyed New Year's Eve. And at home, bowing before the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I'm an elder in your church. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm not the man that I know you want me to be. I cannot be the man you want me to be. What is wrong? I don't want to go another day with no peace in my household. I don't want to go another day being unfruitful for you. I've had enough. What do I need to do? And he just quietly said in my heart, you don't know me. You're not spending time with me. You're not surrendered to me. Spend time with me and allow me to bear fruit in your life. It was a significant moment for me, a turning point in my life, where I realized the thorns of life had crowded out God's word and I was being unfruitful. What about you? Are you struggling with sin? That same sin that keeps cropping up? Is your spiritual life and walk with God just dry and boring? Are you constantly having relationship issues with someone in your life? What does that tell you about your heart's condition? Maybe today is the day to allow God to do heart surgery on your life. Allowing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to cut off anything that doesn't belong to Him, to prune your life so that your life can bear fruit for His glory. What do you need to surrender to God today? I encourage you, surrender to the authority of God's Word. Let's pray. I just want to give you a moment, just in the quietness of the seat you're sitting in. You talk personally to God about what He's shown you today. Lord, good, so beautiful, so mighty, and yet so personal. And Lord, we thank you for your patience. We want to thank you that you desire to bear much fruit in us. And so often we allow the cares of this world to crowd out our heart for you. We focus only on your blessings, and sometimes we're hard. We don't allow your word to penetrate. So Lord, this morning, hear our prayers. We want to be a people that is completely surrendered to you, the authority of your word. And this morning, Lord, we accept your word. We receive it with joy. Enlighten our eyes. Turn our hearts to you. May your word be sweeter than honey, more valuable to us than the finest gold. And Lord, may the reward be all for your glory as others see your fruit in our lives and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.